verse 10. A virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. If you got a good wife, if you got a virtuous woman, you have a treasure, a gift from God. And we're supposed to take care of, love and cherish and protect our treasures. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Let's pray. Father, help us now tonight. We ask that you'd give us grace to teach, to preach. May the Holy Spirit undertake and help us. And may it be a benefit and a blessing to all of us, the married and the single. Lord, help some of us old married folks remember things that we may have known and let slip. I pray you'd refresh our mind. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 18, there's a story there about a woman who goes to a man and solicits him to be immoral with her. Because her husband's taken a bag of money and gone on a long trip. There's a man who has a wife who cannot be trusted. In John chapter 8 and verse 3, there's a story there about a woman taken in the very act of adultery. I mean, she was a married woman, and she was betraying her vows and her husband. As a woman that could not be trusted. Now, I looked all through the Bible to find a place where it said that the woman could trust in her husband. And it's not in there. So I thought, well, now, why is it not in there? And so I looked. And I'll tell you why it's not in there. It's implicit from cover to cover in this book that when a man takes a wife, and a man always takes a wife, a woman never takes a husband. The man is the head of the house. He takes a wife, and he sets up a household, and he alone is responsible for it to God. When a man takes a wife, it is implied that he will take care of her and that she can trust in him. Doesn't need to be said. Amen. Now, trust is the foundation of marriage. Now, I know everybody thinks it's love, but that's just nonsense. Love is a very fickle thing, and it's certainly difficult to define it. And if you ask everybody in here, when you think about love, what do you think about? How would you define love? I get a different answer from everybody. And some of them would be true, and some would be partially true, and some of them just be nonsense. Love's not one of those quantifiable things that you can put in a container and weigh it and analyze it and check the density and the vapor point and that kind of, it's not that kind of a thing. But yet it's a real thing. But everybody thinks that the strongest ingredient in marriage is love. Well, I'm here to tell you, love can die. Love can be destroyed. Love can be betrayed. Love can be misguided. Lust can be perceived as love. It's awful easy to get all mixed up on the love thing. And love can be nurtured, it can grow, it can get sweeter, it can be made bitter. All kind of things affect love. And so, the foundation for married life, while love is certainly important, and I don't say all those things to belittle love, I think it's very important. It's not the foundation for marriage. I'll tell you what marriage cannot survive without. Can't survive without trust. When either partner loses confidence in, when they lose trust in the other, it's as good as over. You can lose that schoolboy, schoolgirl crush thing, and all that sentimental, mushy-washy, hold hands, gaze into the eyes, long into the night kind of a thing, and still survive marriage. Marriage can even survive as an agreement, as long as there's a foundation of mutual trust, that each partner will do what they obligated themselves to do. So marriage can survive without what the 20th century would call love. Matter of fact, some of the greatest marriages ever known were arranged affairs where the people never met each other, and love was an impossibility. Most of the time, we can learn to love what we want to learn to love, if we make up our mind to it. At least we can learn to live with it. But boy, the minute trust is gone, whether it be from a marriage founded on love or a marriage founded on contract, once it becomes clear to one partner or the other that they cannot depend on the other to keep their part of the bargain, once doubt and apprehension enters in, it's just a matter of time but it falls apart. That verse said, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. So I want to talk to you tonight about trust. Man, what an important thing. I see a lot of marriages where there's not much trust. And a lot of times with good reason. Sometimes one partner or the other is a little paranoid, you know, and they just always looking for the other one to be doing something wrong. But a lot of times there's good reason for it. And once it's been violated, I'm not saying it's impossible to put it back together. But I am saying it's impossible to ever make it like it was before. I'm not saying you can't make it work. A lot of people have and have had good marriages. But it never was the same as it was before it was fractured. Now, I've got 7 or 8 things here that a man ought to be able to trust his wife in. And of course, in most of the instances, it's a reciprocal thing. If the husband should be able to trust the wife in these things, for the most part, the wife ought to be able to trust the husband in the same thing. Now, there's a couple where that's not as true for the man as it is for the woman, and simply because of the role we have. Men's role is one thing, and the role of a lady is another. Contrary to what all the psychologists and psychiatrists and other nitwits and morons have to say about it, God created a man and a woman, and he made them physiologically different and psychologically different, and he fitted them for different roles in life. And I don't care how many house husbands you got, you can't make them a mama. Amen. And you can take all them little 5'2" eyes of blue you want to and put them on the back of a bulldozer or unloading tractor trailer truck 100-pound bags of sugar, and they're not going to get the job done. I remember years ago I was in the Navy down in Meridian, Mississippi, and they were getting a lot of women in the military, waves, and they had these fuel trucks that held about 8,000-9,000 gallons of jet fuel, and had a big hose off of that thing with a big nozzle on it. It weighs about 35 pounds, just the nozzle, plus the hose and the weight of the fuel. And you had to get under those airplanes and stick that thing up in a hole. You had to stand just like this and lift that whole apparatus up and get it in its spot and then twist it till it locked. And they were pushing equality. and the women and the men were equal. And so they put them little hussies out there on the line with all them jet airplanes and put them to dragging fuel hoses to fuel airplanes. Now let me tell you what they could not do. They couldn't put them hoses on. Some of them couldn't get them off the ground, much less get them up under them airplanes. You say, why was that? Well, for one, they're not equal. They don't have enough upper body mass, that's muscle, to do the job. Now, I said all that simply to say this. Men and women aren't the same. They are fitted for different roles. I did not say that one was better than the other. I just said they're different. Men can't have babies. Thank God. Somebody said one time, if the men had the babies, there'd only be one per household. There's probably a lot of truth in that. Now, so we're not talking about one being superior, one being inferior. We're talking about them being different. So there are a couple of places where some of these won't hold 100% true simply because of the role that we're fitted to do. But as a general rule, the things that a man ought to be able to trust his wife in, the wife ought to be able to trust the husband in. Amen. For example, man ought to be able to trust his wife in married fidelity. And the wife certainly ought to be able to trust the husband in married fidelity. If I recall, in the ceremonies that I have performed, which have been a good many over the years, I guess, in every one of them, because I use the same marriage ceremony for everybody, I use what's called the Episcopal marriage ceremony because it's the prettiest. The language in it just flows better. Now, there's some stuff in it I didn't like, so I took my little pastor's marriage thing and I just marked that stuff out and I rearranged it the way I wanted it. And the other thing was it was way too long. I shortened it up a lot, about 6 or 7 minutes, and I'm through, buddy, and you're fixed for the rest of your life. I did have a couple come one time, and they wanted to write their own vows. I said, then you marry yourself. If I marry you, we use my vows. Amen. Because I'm afraid they might left something out or change something I thought was important. So if I'm going to do it, we're going to do it my way. Amen. Anyway, what was I talking about? I was getting everybody married, wasn't I? Huh? Married fidelity. Both partners in that vow say, I promise to keep myself to thee alone. It wasn't just a woman said that. The man said that. And even though they got down here in the South, this double standard thing, you know, where we pretend that what's good for the gander is not necessarily good for the goose, it's just nonsense. Amen. If it's wrong for the little lady to run around, guess what, guys? It's wrong for you to run around. Down South, you know, they expect the little lady to sit home and have 5 or 6 kids, you know, and cook dinner and keep the clothes washed. And daddy hangs around the honky-tonks and the beer joints and fools around with the loose women. And we just kind of turn our head to it and accept that. That's nonsense. That's just wicked as hell. He took a vow before God to keep himself for his wife and her alone. Amen. Now, we have every right when we get married to expect our mate to be for us and for no other. You want to mess around, play the field and all that, stay single. And then we'll preach on fornication and get you. But right now we're talking about adultery to get you. Amen. That's a different set of sins. You get married, you're supposed to quit looking, and you're certainly supposed to quit messing around. Now, I know James Dobson and them say, well, all men look. Well, they ought not to. Amen. I was working with a young kid yesterday, and we were downtown Rock Hill, and there's a restaurant right down from the building where we were working. And a lot of the young girls that work in the stores and offices up there go down there to have lunch. And we're walking along there, and a guy almost walked into the side of the building. I grabbed him by the sleeve and pulled him out. I said, boy, I said, you better watch where you're going. I knew what he's doing. He's watching them girls go in that restaurant down there. He said, boy, I said, there's some baby dolls go in there, ain't there? I said, I guess. He said, you think I'm bad, don't you? I said, yeah. He said, man, you think I'm bad? He said, you ought to watch Randy McDaniel. He said, man, he said, he can spot them a mile away. I said, you know, I said, if you two boys didn't have such skanky old girlfriends, you wouldn't have to look like that. He said, my girlfriend ain't skanky. I said, then what are you looking around for?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You ought to control that stuff.
Amen.
When you got married, the field is closed.
Amen.
Hunting season's over.
Amen.
Amen. Love the one you got. Be faithful. Listen, you wouldn't be so dissatisfied with the one you got if you didn't spend so much time looking at all the others.
Amen.
Amen. Mama sits around the house all day, you know, and watch them stupid soap operas, you know, and they don't have nothing on there but beauty pageant winners. You know, they're all 20, 25, 28. They're all size sixes. They're all overdeveloped. They've all got their hair fixed. They've all got their makeup on. They all look good. Amen. Then all the men on them things are all hunks, you know. I mean, you got to pass a 10-point profile, you know, to be a guy on a soap opera. Well, mama sits there all day long and looks at all that stuff, and then her husband comes home. He's been out working in the sewer all day. Dirty, greasy, nasty. Hadn't shaved since last night. 24 hours of beard on his face. Sweat under his arms. Looks like the wreck of the Hesperus or something, you know. She's disillusioned. I don't think I love him anymore. Well, if you hadn't been watching all them others all day long, you wouldn't be so dissatisfied with this one. If this is the only one you saw all day, you'd be tickled to see him come home.
Amen.
We spend too much time looking at that stuff, paying attention to it. Or look at your own. We have a right to expect married fidelity. Number two. Man's heart ought to be able to trust in his wife for his name and his honor. She would do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Man has a right to expect his wife to exalt his name and to bring honor to him. Now, the wife has every right to expect the same thing from her husband. Amen. And nothing much more disgusting to me than to listen to some man or some woman sit around and run down and tell about the faults of their wife or their husband. What do you do that for? That looks really bad. That looks so cheap and so tawdry. I mean, it's pathetic. You married him. You married her. I agree with you. I don't know why, but you did. Now live with it.
Amen.
You did say for better, for worse, richer, poorer, sickness, health, till death do us part. Well, suppose your husband or your wife's got a fault or a weakness or something that really aggravates. You don't need to tell the whole wide world about that. Why do those things and make other people think less of them? So there's old brother so-and-so. Man, I was talking to him the other day, and I tell you why, I'm glad I ain't married to his wife. You know what he told me? We shouldn't have told you nothing. Just be honest with him. What goes on between me and my wife and our house is our business. It ain't none of yours. I wish the world would learn to keep its big, fat, ugly, stupid mouth shut. Amen. You know how much less gossip there would be down at the local office if the women didn't sit around and talk about their husbands to each other? And then when they go and talk with somebody else, they sit down and tell them all the stuff you told about. Pitiful. Pitiful. ought to be able to trust him, trust her, with his name and with his honor. If you can't say something good about him, I'll keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
Now, I can't believe that everything is bad about your husband. I don't believe everything is bad about your wife. There must have been something good about them. Something attracted you to them. They might have some good points. Amen. If you got to talk about them, why don't you talk about that? And they get to talking about some area where your husband or your wife has a weakness or whatever it is, why don't you just go to the water fountain or take a smoke break like you normally do? Dismiss yourself. You don't have to sit there and join in it with them. You ought to be supporting them, exalting them, lifting them up. I've been married 40 years. I'd be a fool to try and pretend my wife is perfect. She's almost, but she is still human. There won't be much change in her when she gets home to glory. But... Don't y'all feel the same way? She's not perfect. She's human. But I'm not going to tell you her faults and weaknesses. When I talk about her, I'm going to brag on her. Believe me, there's plenty of things about her that are commendable, that are extraordinary, that are above and beyond. And so if I'm going to talk about her, guess what I'm going to talk about? Amen. You're going to go away and say, man, that guy thinks his wife can walk on water. Well, he thinks she's the greatest thing. That's exactly right. I think that. I believe that. Now, I'm not a fool. I know there's some rough edges still there. But you don't need to know about them. Amen. You know what? She's my wife. I want you to think highly of her. I want you to think, Preacher Hensley's the luckiest guy in the world. He has got a wife that... is exemplary, that is above and beyond. Amen. Every man, every woman in this room married ought to think that way about his or her wife. And you ought to make it your mission in life to honor them, to exalt their name. You should never say or do anything to demean them or make people think less of them. Number three, man ought to be able to trust in his wife for his possessions. Conversely, a woman ought to be able to trust in her husband for her possessions. There ought to be mutual respect and mutual trust regarding finances and what a couple has in common. Amen. Now, this is a personal thing with me. I think I could back this up if it was necessary. It is always a mistake to have separate bank accounts. How can you be one flesh and two pocketbooks? Well, this is my money, and that's her money. This is her bank account, this is my bank account. I put in this much, and she puts in that much, and everything that's left over out of my check is mine, and whatever's left over. That ain't a marriage. You know what marriage is? Marriage is a merger. You see my fingers? I'm going to marry my fingers. Now they're married. Do you know what you do if you go down to a garage, and a guy's working on the gears in a transmission? And this gear's got little gears on it, and this gear's got little things on it. You know what they do? They call it marrying them up, where those cogs go together. So when this one turns, it turns that one. Or if this one turns, it turns that one. That's a marriage, when they merge. They work together as one unit. And anything you induce into your marriage that causes division is a mistake. He said, well, preacher, if you knew my wife, she ain't got a lick of money sense. Well, you're going to have to work on that. Now, I understand that there are some people, just like those two women in Proverbs 7:18 and in John 8:3, the husband should have been able to trust them, but he couldn't. They proved themselves to be untrustworthy. And when that happens, then you have to deal with it. But the ideal situation is that we are able to trust our mate with all that we have. Now, I've been married 40 years, and we have one bank account. Empty bank account. I knew there was a reason for that. When we get married, we are to become one flesh, one mind, one spirit. We're supposed to have one objective, one goal. We are going somewhere together as one couple. Amen. And boy, when we start dividing it and having his's and hers's, and you're headed for trouble. You're headed for trouble. Now, I know that not all people have good money sense. Not all, everybody is responsible. And you have to find out in your marriage. You know, I know a fellow who thinks it's the man's responsibility to manage the money. That's not a burden that the wife needs to bear. Now, I don't know where he got that. That ain't in the Bible. But he thinks it's his God-given duty. It's to manage the money. And a guy ain't got a lick of money sense. And he ain't got a dime. Because he spends it fast as he gets it, sometimes faster than he gets it. And his wife is frugal and knows how to manage the money. But this moron won't let her because of this misconstrued, warped idea that he's the man of the house and he don't want to burden the little lady. Well, he didn't mind burdening the little lady with responsibility of them 7 kids. You're thinking if a woman could be trusted with 7 kids, you could trust her with a couple of lousy dollars. Somebody say amen. Some people are hoot. Anyway, man ought to be able to trust in his wife for his possessions, for his money. Number 4. And this is one of those places where it's a little different. Not altogether different, but the man ought to be able to trust in his wife for his children, for their care and their training. And the reason I say that's a little different, because while the man sired the children, fathered the children, it is, as a general rule, his place to be out making a living. And the rearing of children is mama's responsibility. And they are much better at it than men. They have more patience with it. They have more wisdom with it. They are with them all the time, and they know how kids think and operate. Good mothers kind of have a radar. They know what kids are going to do before kids do it. They know when the kid's back in the back room for 10 minutes by himself what the kid's getting into. And they'll holler, "Put that back!" Mothers have intuition sometimes about raising kids. I don't know what it is, but they have things for raising kids us men just ain't got. Amen. And so mothers make better mothers than daddies. A man ought to be able to trust his wife with the training and the rearing, the care of his children. He ought to have every confidence that while he's out making a living, she'll make sure they are fed and clothed and changed and washed, and that she will work to instill in their little minds of mush those principles and concepts that they believe are true and hold near and dear. Amen. Now, the honest truth is, daddy is ultimately responsible for the raising and the training of those children. So he and mom need to work together on how to do that and what's expected. Now, some men are so stupid. I mean, men tend to be blockheads. I mean, I hate to say that with women in the room, but the honest truth is, sometimes men just amaze me at their short-sightedness. There are men who think that they can dictate to their wife what they're going to teach them and train their children. Well, let me tell you something, pal. Them kids are half theirs, and your wife's got a mind and convictions and opinions of her own. And you ain't going to tell her what she will and will not teach. Y'all better work together for a consensus. You better get an agreement. After all, you're gone and she's with them. She can do as she darn well pleases. You can come home and say, well, didn't I tell you? Yeah, you did. But I didn't agree with you, so I didn't do that. And what are you going to do about it? Beat her up? Mom and daddy better sit down and get their heads together. Now, while dad's ultimately responsible, if he's got any wisdom, he'll converse with and communicate with mama and get that thing worked out so there's an agreement. She's a whole lot more likely to teach what you want taught and raise them the way you want raised if she agrees with you. Now, I know sometimes there may be a sticking point, an issue, where daddy has to kind of push and prod. But there ain't many of them. Somebody say amen. Of course, mom has the right to. She ought to be able to trust her husband concerning those children, that he'll care for them. The truth is, kids need a mama and a daddy. Now, I don't care who says what. All them psychiatrists, all them psychologists, all them social people can take a flying leap at the moon. God Almighty intended for a kid to have a mama and a daddy. And for them to be well balanced and be all that they should be, they need them both. I'm not saying kid can't turn out reasonably well with one or the other. They do. But it's a whole lot harder. Amen. They'd have been a lot better off with a mama and a daddy. They need the feminine influence, and they need the male influence. You see, contrary to what everybody thinks, men and women don't think alike. Y'all notice that? Women don't think like men. You ever try to reason with a woman? That's the most unreasonable thing there is. You can't reason with a woman. Yeah. Now, generally though, women have a lot of common sense in some areas where men are just dumber than a red brick. And when it comes to discretion and self-control, women are by far and away, hands down, better than men. Women tend to be gentler, more cautious. They're the nurturers. They're the caregivers. It's their nature. The men, on the other hand, generally aren't like that. Ryan was riding his motorcycle the other day and trying to pop wheelies, and he flipped the thing over on himself. He didn't get off the gas in time. He didn't get the clutch in, and he didn't stand up and get off the bike. He just decided to ride it. They were both upside down. And it scared the dickens out of him, and he left the motorcycle out there in the field and come walking in the house. And when he came in, you could tell he was shook up, you know. And he walked over there. I didn't see blood dripping anywhere, and I didn't see bones sticking out anything. And he said, I wrecked my motorcycle. I said, where's the bike? He said, out there in the field. I said, go get it. Mama would have said, are you hurt anywhere? Are you okay? See, the man tends to push. He's the more aggressive. He's the tougher, sometimes dumber, tougher, but tougher. And them kids need both of them. Amen. And so mom has a right to be able to expect to be able to trust her husband in the raising and the training of the children, just like the husband has a right to expect to trust his wife in the care and the nurture of the children. It takes both of them to do it like it ought to be done. Somebody say amen. Man ought to be able to trust his wife with his home, that she'll keep it and clean it. Women are equipped for the domestic things more so than men. I can't imagine a house husband. Let me keep your house, lady. Wouldn't make any difference whether it's a palace or a tent, you know. If I was doing it, if I moved in, I'd put my stuff in the closet and that'd be the end of that. I wouldn't worry about no pictures on the wall. Curtains, I mean, blind will work just as good as a curtain, for crying out loud. Amen. All them whatnots and doodads. I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of dollars of dust collectors we have in our house that serve absolutely no purpose under God's blue sky. I could have spent that money on guns. Or a membership at the country club to play golf. Something worthwhile. But because I love her, I have wasted that money buying them doodads. Man don't care about all that junk. Oh, now if we bring somebody over, we want it to look nice. And we'll say, welcome to my home, my humble palace. And we'll take all the credit for all the niceties in there that mama bought. Amen. And if mama hadn't done it, we'd be living in a cave or the equivalent thereof. Amen. A couple old tires over in the corner, some mag wheels in the back room. Carburetor in the middle of the living room table, a kitchen table. What's wrong with that? Nothing. The only furniture in the living room is a bean bag, you know. When we come home at night, though, boy, here the house is all cleaned and the dishes are done, the laundry's done, and you got underwear in the drawer and clean britches in the closet. And smell dinner cooking when you come down the driveway. That's a blessing. Amen. Why in the world, anybody in the world would want to be single? I cannot figure out. I could sell marriage door to door. But ladies have a right to expect the husband and trust him for a home. You married her. You told her, said, if you'll be my wife, I'll buy you a little white house with a little white picket fence. We'll drive a little white Chevrolet and have four or five little white kids. She got a right to expect that from you. That you'll give her a decent place to live and that you'll keep it up and supply the things she needs. Amen. If you think you can trust her to keep it clean and to cook and all that stuff, she got a right to expect you to provide it. No, I'm not going to get off on that. I'll be here all night. Number six. I'm moving right along. Man has a right to trust his wife for his back in a fight. Now, I believe that. I never will forget one of the first times I ever heard Jack Woods preach. He's preaching about some, I don't know, you never could figure out what he was preaching about. But he's talking about some Mexicans, something's giving him and his family a hard time, and they had threatened him. And he said, man, he went home and got his rifle and loaded it up and put one by the back door and one by the front door. He told his wife, he said, said a bunch of Mexicans come over here, said they're gonna shoot us, burn the house down. I said, man, the next thing he knew, she'd been back in the back room. We had her a double barrel shotgun and a box of shells. He said, I married me a woman. He said, I married no girl. So I said, I married me a woman. See, when it come time to fight, we were back to back. I said, Brother Jack, I appreciate that. Trouble comes, and if you're married and live very long, trouble will come. A man ought to be able to trust his wife to stand behind him, back him up. Of course, ladies ought to be able to trust men to do the same thing. Amen. Back him up against what? Oh, man, listen, when you're married, trouble comes from all kinds of places. It comes from all kinds of places. In-laws, outlaws, mom-in-law, daddy-in-law, your mama, her mama, all over the place. But whose side should you take? Your wife's. Your husband's. You know, the Bible said, and for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave, that means hang on to his wife. Amen, I believe that. You say, well, my wife and my mama got in a big argument. Whose side are you on? Well, I don't know which one of them's right. Hold it. That wasn't the question. The question was, whose side are you on? Who are you going to back up? Well, I can't go against my mama. No, son, you can't go against your wife. In every fight, I'm on her side. In every fight, she's on my side. You say, well, I came home and the kids come running out and they said this, that, and the other. And wait a minute. You think I'm going to listen to some youngin' over my wife? You know how much chance a snowball's got in the Sahara? If it's a matter of me taking that kid's word or my wife's word, it ain't up for debate. I don't have to think about it. God knows I ain't got to pray about it. That kid is wrong, and mama's right. Now, if there was real proof for something, that's a different thing. I'm all about when it comes down to one taking one's word and that kind of stuff. Ain't no problem, no contest. My daddy came in here tonight, and I love my dad, and made an accusation against my wife, and my wife denied it. Let me tell you who's wrong and who's right. He's wrong, she's right. I'm on her side. And if I found out she's wrong, I wouldn't tell him. Amen. In a fight, we are one flesh. I support her, she supports me. Now, I'm not saying you support in wrong or criminal, I'm not that kind of a thing. But when it's a dispute with children or with moms or dads or with neighbors, I'm on her side. That's my wife. And me and her stick together. And if you think you're ever going to turn me against her, you are wasting your time. Amen. I've known her for 40 years. I know her character. I know her integrity. I ain't known none of y'all that long. You don't stand a snowball's chance. I'm going to take hers. I'm going to back her up. You might well know that just going in. Somebody say amen. If I came to you and make an accusation against your husband or your wife, you say, oh, well, I'd have never thought they'd have done that. You wait till I get home. You're an idiot. Oh, you're too dumb to breathe. I said, hold it. I don't want to hear it. You talk about my wife. Now, you talk about my wife, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to slap your jaws. Now, I go home and talk to my wife. I said, sweetheart, what are we going to do to fix this sucker? But you'd be surprised that the husbands and the wife that will take the side of a parent, or worse yet, of a child. Well, I know my children, they wouldn't lie to me. Yes, they will. Every argument a child ever made was self-serving. Well, I know them, and they don't do what you're saying. You mean they don't do that when you're around, knucklehead? Amen. I got three of them right here, buddy, and I watch them. And they are self-serving little suckers. And they are one way around you. And believe me, they know how to be another way at home. Or to be able to trust his wife, or to be able to trust her husband to take their back in a fight. Man ought to be able to trust his wife for his confidant. A woman ought to be able to trust her husband as her confidant. Ought to be able to talk to him. Ought to be able to go home and say things about you folks that I can't say to you or nobody else. And trust that it'll stay right there. Don't kid me. You get aggravated with people. You get upset with people. You get outdone with people. There's got to be somebody you can talk to. Amen? You go to church. Listen, if you come to this church for a year or two, don't tell me that as caustic as I am, I don't aggravate the dickens out of you sometimes. I don't believe that. I don't believe, if you can come to this church for a year and not get mad about something, you're made out of cast iron. So what are you going to do about it? Well, you can keep it in until it builds up and get mad and leave. Or you can go home and sit down with your wife and say, you know, if he does that one more time, I think I'm going up in that pulpit and just wring his little ugly neck. You ought to be able to talk to your mate about the most intimate, most personal parts of your life, your fears, your aggravations, your frustrations, your likes and your dislikes, the petty stuff that you would be embarrassed to tell anybody. You ought to be able to tell that to your wife or to your husband and know that it's as secure as if you'd have told it to God himself. Amen. Now, you know, part of that is this. When you bury your soul, you're always at risk. But you ought to be able to trust that you could tell your mate how you feel, what you like, dislike, what you hate, and be as petty as you want to be. And they don't have to agree, but they don't ridicule. They don't poke fun, they don't belittle, and they don't hate you for what you are. Amen. Now, a man goes to his wife and he tells her something that's on his heart, that's a real burden or a real aggravation or a real sore point to him. And she listened to her, she said, are you that stupid? Are you that small? Are you that kind of petty person? Well, it's obvious he is. He just told you. And he didn't want to hear how small or how petty it is. He knows that. Don't kid me. I always know when I'm being petty. But sometimes I want to be petty. I just feel good being petty. I'm aggravated. I'm irritated. And so you make mountains out of molehills sometimes. I don't want to be derided for it. I don't want to be belittled for it. I want somebody to listen and absorb it. Let me get it out of my system so I can be a bigger man tomorrow. I'm not getting near as many amens as I ought to. Last but not least, moving right along, a man ought to be able to trust his wife. A woman ought to be able to trust her husband. Be his friend. a lot of times why marriages fall apart. They start out with love, and they start out with trust. And then either trust gets shattered, or love grows dim. And the reason it does that is because while they were infatuated with each other and saw things in each other they liked, and maybe even one supported the other, they grew, got strength one from the other, they never, ever, ever became buddies. They never, ever became friends. I believe with all my heart and all my soul, one of the greatest attributes to marriage, successful marriage, happy marriage, is when a man and a woman not only love each other, not only trust each other, but they're best of buddies. When they enjoy each other's company more than the guys, more than the girls. I'm not saying it's wrong for the guys to get off every now and then, or the girls to take a day. I'm all for that stuff every now and then. But by far and large, I'd rather be with my wife than be with anybody on this planet. One thing I'm convinced, she's the only one that really likes me. We have a good time together. We think a lot alike. She'll indulge my idiosyncrasies and my pet likes and dislikes. We like the same kind of music. We like pretty much the same kind of food. She'll go to a gun show, and I'll go shopping. I'm going to keep her my friend and my buddy, because I want to stay happily married. I don't want to just stay married. Anybody can make up their mind and tough it out, come hell or high water. But anyway, listen, buddy, life is too short for that. I want to stay happily married. So I'm going to do what I think is necessary to be her friend, to be her buddy. We're going places together. We're going to do things together. We're going to talk to each other. We're going to kid each other. We're going to share our thoughts and our secrets and our fears. I don't want any barriers. I don't want any walls. I don't want any blind spots. I don't want any kind of secret. I don't want anything that would hinder our friendship. Because I'm going to stay happily married. And I believe with all my heart, there would not be as many couples who had caused distrust, who had betrayed their marriage vows, if they had become friends. Do you know what we normally do? You know what people do? They hang with their friends. You understand what I'm talking about? People like to be with, they desire to be with, they make effort to be with their friends. And when with their friends, they can laugh and cut up and be fun. But if you're with the old lady, oh man, I got to leave my friends and go home to the old lady. Well, no wonder your marriage is falling apart. Why don't you leave them thugs and go home to your bride? Why don't you leave them punks and go home to your sweetheart? Why don't you go home to your buddy? You've got to have the mindset. Amen. Now, if you're married and you want to stay that way, you can stay that way unhappily, or you can stay that way happily. To stay that way happily, you're going to have to work your butt off. You're going to have to give and you're going to have to take. It ain't all going to be your way. It ain't all going to be fun. But if you'll make her your friend, if you'll make him your friend, you can get through it. You know what? When we have somebody we like, we put up with their mistakes. We forgive them for their errors. But let your husband or wife do the same thing. We're crazy. Every married person in this room, every married person in this room ought to sit down tonight and resolve before God Almighty that you are going to be trustworthy in all of those things, and that your husband or your wife, by the grace of God and the sweat of your brow, will be your best friend. And you two can march into the sunset hand in hand, happily married, trusting in each other. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy.